This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you in here on a Saturday, kind of the calm before the storm, Michael Lombardi, there at the Borgata in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you in. Of course, I would say, hi, Michael, good morning. I would say you've got the four best teams all season long, right? I mean, these are four teams, 14 plus wins at this point. We're going to talk about the line movement, but when you're talking San Francisco, you're talking Philly, Cincinnati, Kansas City, it really doesn't get any better than a Final Four with those four teams.
Yeah, I think from the, you know, the first of, like, what after the bye week for Cincinnati, and they've been on this win streak, and certainly San Francisco after their bye week or right before when they beat the Rams, and Philadelphia's been good all year. You know, I think certainly that's the case, and Kansas City's been good all year. So, yeah, these are clearly the four. I think Buffalo Bills fans, their mafia would say we belong in this conversation, but I think honestly, you know, that they know that they kind of petered out halfway through the year, and they weren't the same team in November and December as they were early in the year. And so, yeah, I think we are where we are, and it's perfectly situated. And frankly, you know, if Buffalo played Cincinnati, if we did not have the Hamlin injury, maybe Cincy would have been the number two seed anyway.
All four starting quarterbacks under the age of 28, so some up-and-comers. Of course, you got some already future Hall of Famers and Mahomes. Looks like Burrow's on that path. Hurts is playing great. And then you have the one outlier in Brock Purdy, who we'll get to in just a second. Now, speaking of Patrick Mahomes, let's get to the AFC, because that number has been a roller coaster ride, and it all comes down to the high ankle sprain. Let's start there, because my assumption and what I've heard in the past is high ankle sprain equals 6 weeks at least. Yeah. What is happening with the ankle here?
I mean, it's a miracle. I mean, it's a miracle. I feel like the commandant over there, or the head of the prison in Shawshank, it's a miracle. He's just gotten healed. I mean, it's unbelievable. So the warden Norton, you know, it's like, how did this happen? But look, I'm going to assume he's healthy. I think what Andy Reid said, that he was, you know, got a high ankle against Jacksonville. The next week he played against the Las Vegas Raiders. He went for 443 yards, threw four touchdown passes. You know, I got to assume he's going to play. Now, movement-wise, we know this about high ankles, right? And all this is not going to tell us anything. What we need to see early in the game is, can he pivot and redirect? Can he run away from Hubbard? Can he run away from Hendrickson? Because if you study the three games, what they have done a good job in Cincinnati, they've never really stopped the chief offense. They've turned him over. And they've gotten off the field on third down, and they've rushed him with three guys where they've gotten pressure on him, because they have taken advantage of the tackles, Mike Remmers and Orlando Brown. They've taken advantage of those tackles, and they pushed them back. And the defensive ends for Cincinnati have done a really good job. And they can chase Mahomes. They can chase a healthy Mahomes. Now, if he's unhealthy and he can't move, that's going to be really problematic. And I think we'll see more of Pacheco. See, here's the chess match that's going to go on, right? Andy Reid knows his quarterback may not be 100%, And if Lou Amarumo gives him the cover two shell split safety look, then we're going to see a lot of Pacheco. And they can run the ball. The last game in Cincinnati, the Chiefs could run the football. And they did. And I think we're going to see a little bit more of that, which will slow the game down, which I think brings the under into a conversation.
Well, the Chiefs' issue have been in the three losses, the three straight losses to the Bengals, Michael Lombardi, the fourth quarter and overtime. They've been outscored 26-6, and Burrow has outplayed Mahomes. Just quickly back to Mahomes. My assumption is that his off-schedule abilities, his ability to get outside the pocket and throw the football, that's what you're most concerned about, right? Because that's where he excels.
And that's where he's so great, and that's what makes him so good in the red zone, right? So the championship game, they're 3-for-5 in the red zone. You know, and those two stops in the red zone, Tyreek Hill catching the ball with 5 seconds to go over on the 1 yard line and getting tackled. They don't get points there. And then first and goal at the 5 at the end of the game where they have a chance to score. They got to settle for the field goal, you know, and Tooney recovers the fumble. So I think when you look at this situation, I think it's really comes down to the Bengals have been able to take advantage of some red zone situations. They've done good. They haven't been shutting them down at all.
No.
But they've been able to take advantage. The key really has been, though, Patrick, is in those three games that we've studied, the Chiefs have only had the ball 28 possessions. That's under 10 possessions a game. In a normal NFL game, you're going to get 12 possessions. But the Bengals' offense have done a good job of slowing the game down.
The Chiefs have lost three straight to the Bengals by a combined 9 points, all three by 3 points. Of course, we're talking Mahomes. Let's hear from Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs quarterback.
Obviously, I feel like I can still do a lot of things, it's gonna. We'll see as we get closer and closer, and we'll see during the game. I mean, you can't fully do exactly what you're going to be in those moments in the game, but all I can do is prepare myself the best way possible, and then when we get in the game, you hope adrenaline kind of takes over, and you can make those throws when you need to. But all I can do is just prepare my body the best way possible. I mean, I've seen the videos and everything like that of me walking. I don't know what you can really get from me walking, I think people will see on Sunday where I'm at, and I'll see on Sunday where I'm at. I'm just going to prepare my body the best way during the week to be in the best position possible.
Oh, Patrick, you don't even know the half of it. We've gotten a lot from watching you walk. We've gotten a lot from watching you step off of a podium. There's a lot there.
Man,
you know, it's interesting, Michael, just quickly on, I heard your guy Phil Simms talking yesterday where he said the common knowledge would be, or what's being purported is, you'll just blitz Mahomes because he's hobbled. But if you blitz him, he'll pick you apart with that man coverage. As a matter of fact,
no doubt.
They've done better. Cincinnati's done better when they just rush three against him.
Yeah, the Cincinnati can't play man-to-man against them. Every time they've tried to play man-to-man against them, it doesn't work. I mean, they blitz-zeroed them in the game in Cincinnati, and he hit Scanling down the field for a huge third-down gain. They're not going to win on the outside. I mean, they're not going to be able to shut down the receivers or shut down Mahomes from making a throw. It actually makes it easier. The ball will come out of his hand quicker, and he'll make a throw. Whereas if you make him hold it and have to react to the rush, and they pressure Wiley, the right tackle, and Orlando Brown, the left tackle, if they pressure those guys and push them back, that's where they've created some problems. And they've been able to do that. And I think that to me is the formula. Look, the one thing you can't do when you're playing Andy Reid in the Kansas City Chiefs offense, you can't get into we're just going to do this. We're going to play this, and that's all. You're going to have to mix it up. I don't want to say spin the wheel a little bit, but you're going to have to mix it up a little bit, not to catch him off guard, but to get him a little uncomfortable.
Well, speaking of spinning the wheel, let's go on a roller coaster ride. If you have a queasy stomach, I'm going to throw up the machinations of the line movement here for the AFC Championship game. Be careful here, because it opened Chiefs point and a half, Michael. Then we got on the roller coaster, and we come back the other way. The Bengals on Monday were a point and a half favorite. Then by Tuesday, when the news was very dire about the ankle, it was 2.5. In fact, a couple of shops touched Bengals 3. Then we had a good report. We come back to Chiefs lane 1, and now we settle in with Chiefs lane 1.5. That's important because a 6-point tease would take them through that 7, but now it settled in Chiefs lane 1.5.
Yeah, I mean, in all this, we predicted on Sunday on the show about this is all related to the visualization of what they saw on Mahomes. Is he healthy? Is he not healthy? And I think Mahomes clearly said, no one's going to know what I'm like until they watch us play. And I think the Bengals will take the approach that he's healthy, and until we see him play, we're not going to assume that he's not healthy. That's how you have to approach this. And so, look, I'm sure they have the contingency plan for him in the game. Like I mentioned, they can run the football here. And this Chief offense is different than last year because it's more the ball spread around more. It doesn't rely on the one play go. It relies on Mahomes making different throws in different areas. And if you try to play him in split safety, Pacheco is a hard runner. He's better than Hilaire. I mean, he runs angry. Now, he's not a great blitz pickup guy. He's not a good protector in pass protection, so that gives you some worry. But this kid can catch a screen and run with it, and he runs with power. There's times where him wearing that number 10, you almost think Tyreek Hill's come back. Now, he's not obviously that player, but he's got some of the same similarities when you watch him. He can take this over, and so I think that's part of it. Then the other part is this. We've spent so much time talking about Mahomes' ankle. We have not talked about the Bengal offensive line against the Chief defensive front. And that, to me, is really the essence of the game. That's the essence of the game, because can they block Chris Jones? Can they block Frank Clark? Can they block Carlos Dunlap? Can they block, you know, all these other players that are involved here? I think that's going to be the real challenge. And you can block Buffalo, and you could say, well, the snow helped. Well, the snow was supposed to help Buffalo, too. But this will be a little bit of a different way. Chris Jones is a game changer. Just look at the Raider game, the last game of the year. They couldn't block him. And it's going to be hard for the Bengals to block him, too.
Add another component. You just mentioned Chris Jones. How about when he got done with his presser yesterday, he said, we'll see you tomorrow or in 2 days at Burrowhead. This is starting to get nasty. Bengals Chiefs is getting nasty. You saw Zach Taylor. You saw Burrow talking about hope you get the refunds on your tickets. Like there's some juice to this matchup now with the Bengals.
Well,
and Chiefs.
Look, when you've beaten a team that could, you know, I mean, the Chiefs are one of the powerhouses in the league, right? And so you've beaten them three times in a row. They've heard this, right? And when the players watch the tape of these three games, they realize that a couple mistakes here cost them the game. Not kicking the field goal with 5 seconds to go in the championship game last year. Not being able to score first and goal with the 5, right? I mean, turning the ball over in overtime, turning the ball over or trying to run a screen. I mean, last game in Cincinnati, you know, Kelce gets the ball stripped out of his hands. Then we punt it back to him with 5 minutes to go and we don't get the ball back. I mean, there's a lot of play. How about 2 years ago? Goal line, Cincinnati jumps off sides, they don't call it. Remember that? You know, I mean, there's a lot of things have gone well for Cincinnati in these three games.
Michael Lombardi, the last three matchups between the Bengals and Chiefs, Burrow to Chase, 29 attempts and 29 targets, 24 completions, 417, 4 touchdowns.
They can't cover.
They cannot contain him.
They cannot cover. They can't cover him. I mean, they don't have a guy on their team that can cover him.
It's fascinating. The numbers for Chase are fascinating. The matchup is fascinating. I did just see a shop go to 2. Mostly everybody sitting Chiefs laying 1.5. That's the AFC. We come back with the NFC. I just saw a book go Philly 3. Most are sitting 2.5. We're back. Lombardi Line.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Got a conference championship Sunday coming up tomorrow, so kind of the calm before the storm. Michael Lombardi there at the Borgata in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you back here on The Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're going to be joined in about 11 minutes, Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Marcus Hayes. Remember, we had Marcus on before the show before the season started, and I think he joked that everybody in Philly had them going, 18-0 in the regular season? Well, guess what? They weren't far off. He was joking, obviously, adding a regular season game because of all the hype coming into the season. But will be interesting, Michael, to catch up with Marcus Hayes coming up here in just a bit.
Yeah, no doubt it will be. And look, I am sitting here in the Borgata Sportsbook, and the line on that game has stayed 2.5. So I like when I get here early in the morning, there's certain sharps that are in the book that I talk to. And then, of course, Thomas Gable's here and we all have a conversation. And I said, TG, you know, of all the books in Jersey, I thought for sure you would get this up to 3. And he said, look, we've taken a lot of sharp money on San Francisco here in the book. He said, now, 8 out of the 10 bets are on the Eagles. But most of the serious money has been on San Francisco in this book here particularly. So that's something to note of, because as we've seen all the money around on our board, Patrick, and on the betting odds on VSiN.com, it seems like Philadelphia is getting all the action and the line doesn't move. But once again, not all money's the same money. And so when a sharp player plays at San Francisco, no matter how much money comes in on Philly, that keeps the line there. And as Chris Andrews said to, I forget Felica. Who he talked to, Felica, he said, hey, you know, I mean, we have full confidence that San Francisco could win the game. So I think that lends itself to it.
Yeah, there is a shop I'm looking at that went in New Jersey to 3 with Philly laying it. Let's talk about this number as we open up the NFC. So the Eagles open 2, Michael Lombardi. Currently, it's sitting 2.5. Now, everybody's sitting 2.5, juiced up 115, 120. For novice bettors, that means we're headed to 3 when the juice is going that way. However, BetMGM is reporting 76% of the bets on the Eagles, 85% of the handles. So the money on the Eagles as well. You just said it, that key number, the distinction from 2.5 to 3 is huge. Most shops are reticent to go there. We'll talk to Thomas Gable about that in just a little bit. You wrote about the key matchups here, and we'll start with the trenches. We've got Sirianni talking about it as well, but let's start with the Eagles 49ers and the battle in the trenches here.
Well, I mean, look, both defensive fronts are really good. And like George Kittle talked about, you know, the Eagles have numerous number one draft picks on their team. San Francisco, the same. They've got numerous number one draft picks. I mean, their three best players, Kinlaw, Armstead, and Bosa, are all first-round picks. And they have such a great rotation. So the game starts there. But both offensive lines, when they play within their framework and in their style, are fairly good too. You know, and so San Francisco, they want to play a run-action game. They need to be able to play action pass to throw the football. They're not a drop back pass offensive line. They rely more on quickness, more on athleticism than they do power. If you watch the Cowboy game, you saw the Cowboys tackles push the guards back up San Francisco, trying to create a tighter pocket for Brock Purdy to throw the football from. So the matchups are all about style too. So it's one thing about how talented you are, it's another about the style you can play. And I think when San Francisco's front's playing from in front, when they're with the lead and they can rush the passer and they can get up the field, they're really dynamic. Same thing with Philadelphia. Both these teams are in a complete rush to get the lead. They want to play from in front. And that kind of makes the story so compelling, because who is going to play from in front? Who is going into the third quarter, fourth quarter with a lead? That's going to be really critical.
Year 2 for Nick Sirianni in Philly, and he agrees with you. Let's hear from the coach.
I've been taught from very young that it's O-line, D-line, O-line, D-line, O-line, D-line, O-line, D-line. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's my son's peewee game. It doesn't matter if it's a high school game. It doesn't matter if it's a college game. It doesn't matter if it's a pro game. The O-line, D-line wins games, and it sets the tone. And we got a great defensive line. We got a great offensive line. And not only do we have these pieces in place there, we also understand that we have backups and we have rotations and guys ready to step in and make plays and guys that have stepped in to make plays. And but we also know this about San Francisco. They got a great O-line and D-line. And that's, you know, you get to the NFC Championship game, that's probably that's what it's going to look like. I haven't looked at Cincinnati or Kansas City, but I'm assuming it's similar traits.
Big time Red Bull vibes from the second year head coach, meaning he seems to have found his identity. He's a little bit different. He's a little more demonstrative this year. You saw him on the sideline against the Giants. He's kind of feeling himself. 70 regular season sacks. That's tied for third most for the Eagles in NFL history. They're the first team, Michael Lombardi, in NFL history to have four players with 10 plus sacks. It's a hell of a defensive front.
Yeah, they play from in front, and 60 of those 70 sacks come from the defensive line. I mean, that tells you all you need to know, right? So, you know, sometimes teams get pressure from different ways. And Sirianni, what he said there is exactly what I believe. I believe the game's controlled by offensive and defensive linemen. And when you study these final four teams, how many blues and red chip players are in your offensive and defensive line? That's really what you're looking at. You know, you want to have at least six or seven red or blue chip players out of the 10 positions, is five offensive linemen and five defensive linemen, because back in the day there was a nickel rusher. So when you start to add those together, San Francisco and Philly meet that criteria, right, in terms of defensive line, offensive line. Same thing with Kansas City. They've got some really good. Now, I think Kansas City's tackles, Wiley and Orlando Brown, are not blue chip or red chip. I think when you watch Orlando Brown play against good rushers, he struggles. Same thing with Wiley. And we know Cincinnati's offensive line is just a Band-Aid right now. They're kind of stringing this together. But their defensive line doesn't get enough credit. Their defensive line is better than people think, especially with Reeder back in there now. Reeder and B.J. Hill, the cast off from the Giants, it was a great trade Cincinnati made. Cincinnati traded Billy Price to the Giants to get B.J. Hill. Both teams are getting rid of guys, and B.J. Hill's been really good for Cincinnati. Reeder's been outstanding. And then when you have Hubbard and Hendrickson, they have been dynamic. I mean, they lose Carl Lawson to the Jets. They sign Hendrickson. They got better.
Okay, Niners, Eagles, so you said one, the battle in the trenches. Another aspect you're focusing on, and you wrote about this in the Lombardi line, and excuse me, the look ahead, and that is two, the chess match, the in-game adjustments each team is going to make as far as the coaches.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the game today. This is going to be everything, right? So let's start at San Francisco, Philly, right? Philly watched Dallas run multiple fronts, different looks, kind of changed things up, gave San Francisco some problems. Played physical, you know, really was were trying to create and move the line of scrimmage back and didn't let San Francisco get their run game going. Kyle countered by the second half. He kind of got a couple things going. Never really got control. So there's that matchup, right? It's the same thing when you watch Philadelphia. You know, Philly's going to see what Dallas did. They're going to try to copy that. Now, Kansas City, they've played three times. They know each other really well. Kansas City knows that Lou's going to play split safety. He's going to be a nickel on first and second down. You can run the ball. Okay, so how does he handle it? Spagnuolo knows that number you read when we went to break, that he can't cover Chase. He doesn't have anybody to cover Chase. So he's going to play split safety, roll the coverage to Chase, which is going to open up the ability to run the ball. He also knows that maybe Zach Taylor will get tired of running the football. Maybe Joe Mixon won't be involved. You know, maybe he won't be able to call runs all the time because Taylor likes to throw it. Same thing with Andy Reid. Well, Andy Reid throw it. So there's this constant back and forth based on where the safeties are and where the safeties aren't. That's the game, right? If the middle of the field is closed, right? If the middle of the field is closed, and that means there's a free safety in the middle of the field, they're in an eight-man front. Some form of an eight-man front or a seven-man front in a nickel look. If the safeties, if the middle of the field's open, which means there's split safety, they're definitely going to have the opportunity to have one less guy into the box and you can run the football. So it kind of back and forth as it goes like that.
To further your point about the battle in the trenches, Hurts has been the best deep ball thrower in the NFL this year. However, when he's pressured, that's where he struggles. If there's a bugaboo for Hurts, it's getting pressured, and that's what the 49ers have to do, correct?
Yeah, and I think we spent so much time on Mahomes' ankle, we got to spend a little bit of time on Lane Johnson's abdomen or whatever the hell he has, his groin, because he's going to face the best rushers in the league. And if he's not 100%, that's going to be a problem. And if they have to go to Jack Driscoll, that's going to be an even bigger problem, right? So that's going to hurt them. And, you know, they pushed around the Giants. I mean, they beat up the Giants. They're not going to beat up the 49ers. Now, I think what they do in this game, I think they make it so that Hurts comes out throwing the football. I think they really feel like they got to get Hurts to throw it because they have always approached the game from how do we win this game. Tennessee, they only ran for 63 yards. You can't run the ball on Tennessee, just like you're not going to be able to run the ball on the 49ers on a steady diet. And they can't risk getting Hurts hurt because I'll tell you one thing. These linebackers for San Francisco can tackle, and they tackle angry.
Mild temperatures up by you, big guy there. It's going to be 10 to 15 mile an hour winds, but we should see pretty good temperatures in Philadelphia. Otherwise, in Kansas City, frigid temps. It's going to be, you know, mid-20s, 10 mile an hour winds could make it feel a little bit cooler, but the weather shouldn't really impact either of these conference championship games. Okay, we continue along here on the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up next, Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Marcus Hayes joins us to discuss the matchup.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, become a VSiN Pro right now for the introductory offer of $9.99. We've never done it. We won't do it again, so take advantage of this offer. You get Michael Lombardi's exclusive articles. You get all the picks from the hosts and guests, Pro Tools, and Pro Tips as well. VSiN.com/subscribe. It's all for $9.99 right now. As a matter of fact, Thomas Gable just sent over his college hoops plays for the day. So those are for VSiN Pros. VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, we welcome you back. Conference Championship Sunday coming up tomorrow. He's Michael Lombardi at the Borgata. I'm Patrick Maher. We talked to Marcus Hayes, longtime reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer, before the season started. And as we say hi to Marcus, and thank you, and good morning. You know, you joked about the expectations amongst Eagles fans. I think you said maybe you had them going 18-0 in the regular season. Well, guess what? We're now talking in January, headed into February. They're your Super Bowl favorites. They're favorites tomorrow. It's been a wild ride so far.
You know, I thought this team, because of its offensive line last year, should win 12 or 13 games. And I thought Nick Sirianni was embarrassed and unmasked as a kind of a fraud early in the year, as most rookie coaches could probably be expected to be unmasked as a fraud. That said, I expected them to win a lot of games this year. I did not expect them to go out like they did and to be 13-1 after Jalen Hurts' MVP run. Just blew my mind, blew my doors off. The offensive line is a big reason, but his coaches and Jalen Hurts, who's become a much better quarterback than I ever thought he would be.
You know, I couldn't agree more, Marcus. I think what you have to give them credit for is adapting the offense to Jalen Hurts, right? So I think that early part of Nick Sirianni's coaching career was trying to run a conventional offense. And once they went to this six-back approach, which you and I both know, Jeff Lurie really doesn't want to run the ball. He wants to throw it. But for them to become a dominant run team is kind of outside of the philosophical nature of the Eagle organization, but yet they've been so damn good at it, and it's really made the quarterback. And my question is, do you think Philly signs Hurts to a mega extension after the season, regardless of this game, as they go forward, because that they almost have to at this point, don't they?
Well, I think the issue here, Mike, is how durable is he going to be? Jalen Hurts was injured at the end of his rookie season after just four starts. He had a hamstring injury. He needed ankle surgery after the end of last season, and he might need shoulder surgery after the end of this season. So he gets hit 10 to 15 times pretty hard every game, and that's because of the way the offense is structured. He has three or four designed runs. He has six or seven RPOs where he chooses to run the ball, so he's running the ball somewhere between 10 and 20 times a game. That's not sustainable into your 30s. That said, he's probably worth a mega deal, not a Patrick Mahomes deal, but something that will give him an average of $40 to $45 million over the next 5 years, and most of it guaranteed. So that's the kind of deal I expect each side to consider fair. It'll make Jalen Hurts generationally wealthy, but it will also protect the Eagles on the backside.
Marcus Hayes, Philadelphia Inquirer, here on the Lombardi Line. You talked about Sirianni, you said unmasked last year. They went to Tampa and were embarrassed. What's been the difference with the second-year head coach this year?
Well, I believe last year when they went to Tampa, they were just outmatched. They were outcoached. Tom Brady had a great game. It really wasn't a contest. And Jalen was hurt. Jalen's ankle was injured and required surgery, so he wasn't the same quarterback in the second half as he was in the first half. But probably one of the more remarkable things that's ever happened, I've been covering, my first team to cover were Marv Levy's Bills. I have never seen a head coach as a rookie give up play calling early in his first season and do so for the betterment of the team. And that's what Nick Sirianni, of all the things that have happened in the last 2 years, the most impressive thing that's happened for me, even the acquisition of A.J. Brown, you know, drafting Devontae Smith, Nick Sirianni saying, hey, I can't be the best head coach I can be and a good play caller, so I'm going to give this responsibility to my offensive coordinator, Shane Steichen, after 7 games as a head coach. That, to me, was the sea change that brought them to the playoffs last year and to this point, the number one overall seed this year, Nick Sirianni's humility and sort of self-reflection.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Marcus. I think that's something that he can see the game and take a step back, and I think he can connect all three units together as opposed to burying his head in that play sheet. So let's talk tomorrow. What do you think their approach is going to be offensively and defensively? I believe they're going to come out trying to throw the ball, knowing that it's hard to run on San Francisco. And I believe Jonathan Gannon has got to try to mix it up a little bit and not let Shanahan think he's going to do the same thing he's done over the past year.
Well, one of the things that's trending with the second topic with Jonathan Gannon, Mike, is their best blitzers are Avante Maddox and C.J. Gardner-Johnson, both of whom were hurt for large patches of this year, both of whom should be healthy and play this year. Gardner-Johnson can move back to safety, and Maddox can move to nickel corner where he's been playing. Gardner-Johnson has been playing nickel with Maddox out. That said, that gives them blitz options because they stink at blitzing otherwise. They don't have any blitzers except those two guys. And those guys, you know, it's just a knack. You're either good at it or you're not. Offensively, Jalen Hurts, I just looked this up before the show, and I was wrong. I thought Jalen Hurts liked to avoid the middle of the field. And with Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner in the middle of the field, those are their two best pass defenders, believe it or not. Those two linebackers, if you believe the advanced stats, those are their two best pass defenders. That said, Jalen Hurts actually likes to go to the middle of the field, and he's pretty effective at it. I think that his umbrella, he gives you the impression that he likes to throw the ball in an umbrella. He likes to throw it deep and out. So the 49ers, I think, are more vulnerable in those situations. Now, if Lane Johnson can stand up to the part-time duty he has against Nick Bosa, because Nick Bosa is playing on both sides now, and Lane Johnson's the injured Eagles right tackle, then they'll be able to get the kind of time that Jalen needs to execute those throws. So I agree with you. I think they're going to go at them through the air. I think they're going to work the edges. And I think it's going to be a big day for Devontae Smith because, again, I'm not sure how healthy A.J. Brown is. He looked like he came up with a hamstring at the end of the divisional game against the Giants. And I think he's going to get a lot of attention.
I was going to ask you, Marcus Hayes joining us here, Lombardi Line, about A.J. Brown. 3 receptions, 22 yards against the Giants. Was there more to it? Because you saw Sirianni go over and console him. He seemed frustrated. Was there more to the A.J. Brown situation?
We've seen A.J. Brown not get many passes in a game and have no reaction. A.J. Brown wants to play and he wants to win. Yes, I think it's kind of a smokescreen. And I think there's another one going on, too. But the smokescreen I'm talking about is I think they want people to think A.J. Brown was upset at not getting passes because I think he was really upset that he got injured. They don't want him to – they don't want anybody to know he's injured. They would much rather cast him as a malcontent right now than an injured player. The other smokescreen is all the talk you hear about Jalen Hurts' shoulder. Oh, it's really sore. He's not 100%. He's 75, 80%. There are people in the organization who are giggling and snickering when that's said, because I think Jalen Hurts is much healthier than he's being presented, so that's a smokescreen. And A.J. Brown is much happier and much more hurt than he's being presented as.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think, you know, I don't think the Niners are going to buy that Hurts is hurt at all. I think they're going to they've watched him play last week. There was no evidence that he was injured whatsoever. He threw the first deep pass perfectly. His arm looked strong, so there's no issue there. And then I think when you know, they're going to have to – this game's going to come down to what team's best yards after the catch receivers make the plays, whether it's A.J. Brown or whether it's Deebo Samuel, whether it's Kittle, whether it's Goddard. I mean, there's just so much talent in this that I think it's going to come down to. I think you nailed it perfectly. I think the Niners take the approach everybody's healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. Even Lane Johnson, I can't see them. You know, there's a narrative out there that says, well, they're going to line Bosa up over Johnson and really test that groin. I don't think Lane Johnson takes the field, especially after last week, if that groin isn't 100 or close. It's not 100%, but if that groin isn't better than whoever the replacement would be, however they want to configure their offensive line without him. So, I think each team goes in thinking it's as healthy as it can be expected, and we see a really good game. But I don't know, Mike. I think the game kind of comes down to how willing Jalen Hurts is to be Jalen Hurts, to be the guy that breaks the pocket and takes the hit. That's the big question. He took one hit against the Giants, one significant hit on that shoulder, and the Giants aren't the 49ers. This defense is faster. It tackles better. And you can manipulate your body to test a joint, whether it's a hip or an ankle or a knee or a shoulder. You can test Jalen Hurts, and I think he will be tested early, but I think he passes that test.
15 seconds, Marcus Hayes. Got a prediction. The Eagles are laying 2.5.
You know, I've been predicting 28-20 Eagles. I think there's going to be a turnover or two. We're going to see Brock Purdy rattled at the link. And Jalen Hurts is going to prove that he and Patrick Mahomes are the two best quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Get ready for the parade.
Love it.
Get ready for the parade. Marcus Hayes, Philadelphia Inquirer. Thank you, Marcus.
Grease those poles, baby. Thanks, Marcus.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, even a wager that misses can still be a slam dunk. How about that with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA? Place an NBA one-game parlay wager with at least four legs or more, and if you miss one leg, you're going to receive up to $25 back in free bets. So again, a four-teamer, you miss one, you get $25 back. It's a great deal from the king of sportsbooks, BetMGM. Again, an official partner of the NBA. You got to be 21 years or older. If you have an issue, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available. Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. As we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line, Michael Lombardi. We just had Marcus Hayes. So what did he say? He said 28-20. He had Philly winning it, Michael. So they do cover, and it does go over the posted total of 46. Let's bring in Carl Johnson to discuss. We'll get a prediction from Carl as well. Of course, runs the Racing Sportsbook down. Hey. At the bayou at the Beau Rivage. Hi, Carl. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Patrick, Michael. How you guys doing today? You ready?
We're ready as frog hair, Carl. There's no doubt. We're as fine as frog hair. We're ready to get this thing going. We have to wait it out, but, you know, we'll do it. We'll do whatever we got to do to get to it.
Yeah. Exciting day tomorrow. We're ready for it.
Okay, Carl. Well, let's do it. Let's start talking about the early one, San Francisco, Philadelphia. Let's talk about where you opened, kind of how the line has moved, and where you're sitting right now.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, no movement hardly at all. We opened here 2.5, 45.5. You know, we've been getting Eagles money. I mean, they're getting 70% of the money, 70% of the tickets. Right now, we're at 2.5. We've got it juiced to minus 120. I don't know if this thing will go to three. I mean, it looks like it's wanting to go to three, but I think, just my opinion, I think it stays there. And right now the total's at 46.5, so it's up a little bit.
Yeah, is your action fair? Like here at the Borgata, another BetMGM property, Carl, they're getting a lot of bets on Philly, but they're getting a lot of money on San Francisco, which has kept that line. I thought this line would have been three here when I came in this morning. It's not close, and Thomas Scable says it's not going to get to three. Are you getting a lot of sharp money on San Francisco?
A little bit, Michael, but to be honest with you, we got it both ways, the sharp money. You know, and personally, I think some late 49er money from the public will come in between now and kick. At least that's what I'm expecting. But our sharps here hit it both ways, Mike.
Yeah. How about a decision on the total? 46.5, where'd you open? And do you have a decision to be made there?
Yeah, so we opened at 45.5. Look, I like it over. You know, I think both of these teams will score. I mean, I seen a stat yesterday. I mean, these four quarterbacks playing in these games tomorrow were like a combined 35-2 since November 1st. So, I mean, these four teams playing their best football. I like Brock Purdy a lot. But I like what Philadelphia. I like the way Philadelphia is playing a lot here too. I'm going to bet the Eagles. I'm going to eat me a big Philly cheesesteak tomorrow to celebrate, and that's where I'm at on it.
Wow, I mean, you like the over in this game. You know, it's interesting. Whenever you get two teams that are really good defensively, everybody thinks it could be a low-scoring game. But I get the sense that Philly's going to throw the ball. I mean, it's really the only chance. Both teams' secondaries are vulnerable. I mean, look, let's face it. Both teams win with their fronts. And so it's going to come down to which team can throw the football more effectively and then which team's secondary tackles the best. And, look, we know this. One missed tackle in Philly's that could be a touchdown for San Francisco, it's the same thing for the Eagles. If they miss a tackle on Goddard, he could be taking it to the house, or Smith or A.J. Brown. So I do think that there's a tendency to bet the under, but I think the over, really, I think both teams offensively can make a big play.
Yeah. And you know, I think this might be a, you know, we're always talking about this might be a good end game. Look, I don't think San Francisco can play from behind here. You know, Brock in the last few games, he struggled early on and then he settled down. So I think this game early on, I think if 49ers can get through the first quarter of this football game, I think both teams will be settled down and I think we'll see a close game. Now, I still like Philadelphia. But if the Eagles jump out ahead big time, you know, this could be a pretty bad night for San Fran, I think.
Okay, Philly in the over for Jick Jack in the early one. You mentioned no line movement for San Francisco Philly, the exact opposite for Cincinnati Kansas City. Let's talk about where you opened and the line movement here, Carl.
Yeah, I mean, this game's been all over the place, Patrick. We opened here Chiefs 1-48. Immediately, sharps hit this. It flipped to Bengals. It actually flipped to Bengals 1. Then it continued to climb from there. 2.5. I think we briefly touched 3. And at that time, we was getting 85% of the money, 80% of the tickets were on the Bengals. So when they made the announcement that Patrick Mahomes looked good in practice, you know, immediately that line started coming down and moved the other way. So right now, We're at Chiefs minus 1.5. The total is 48. But we're still getting 80% money, 80% tickets on Cincy. So it's a reverse line move there. But that's, you know, we expected this, the Burrow money. That's what they're going to do here.
Yeah. What's your read on this, Carl? I mean, what's your instincts telling you, A, about Mahomes and B, about the game? I think this is interesting. I love Burrow, but it's hard to beat a team four times in a row.
Yeah, I'm a huge Joe Burrow fan, and I was asked this question earlier in the week, and you know, I heard you make a comment earlier, and I think it's exactly right. Patrick Mahomes, he's a special athlete. You can't handicap him to be hurt. When you look at this game, you got to handicap this game for him to be. He's going to be 100%. Look, this guy's an acrobat. I mean, he throws the ball underhanded. He throws it off his front foot. I mean, he does all kind of stuff. He throws it in a sidearm motion. But the more important thing for him is, if you was to take any of the top five quarterbacks behind him in this offense and say, you know what, if Patrick Mahomes is hurt, if we could plug any of these quarterbacks in, would you rather have Mahomes still? Maybe not quite 100%, or would you rather have one of those guys? And for me, he does so much into that offense. He can check out of stuff, put them in the right play. I think that knowledge alone is worth a whole lot. So I'm taking Patrick Mahomes, even if he had a little cast on. You know, that's just the way I feel about it.
But that's got to be Burrow country down there at the Beau Rivage, though, right, Carl? My assumption is with LSU, that's got to be Joe Burrow country down there.
Yeah, I mean, look, we love Burrow. I mean, but you know, I we're getting all Burrow money. I don't bet with my love of players. I bet with my pocketbook. So I'm going, I'm going both favorites here. I know, and the chances are that won't happen. But I'm going with the Chiefs here.
Yeah, I just think it's hard to beat a team four times. And I think people look at the scoreboard and don't really look at the game. And those games could have gone either way. One of the games, the Chiefs were dominating and they let it slip away. And I think Mahomes was hurt in the fourth quarter of that game. No one's going to convince me otherwise, because that's about as bad a football as he's ever played in his career going back to Pee Wee. So I just think it's hard. And the other thing I think about the injury, and we've spent so much time talking about it, when you know what your quarterback can and can't do before the game, you can game plan. When it happens during the game, you've got to adjust and kind of work on some things. Reed's too smart to not have a way to handle this outside and knowing what the injury is.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and that's what I like about this game, this team in this situation. Another thing too is, you know, last week that offensive line for Cincinnati, I believe the snow helped them a little bit. You know, I think they get exposed this week. So it's going to be interesting start, interesting game. And this is such a heavily booked game. I can't remember a game really. This, I'm talking about nationwide. There's a lot of money on this football game.
Yeah.
Okay, Carl. Hey, by the way, just out of curiosity, anybody betting the Nuggets 76ers game down at the Bayou?
I am.
The
I'm on it. I'm on it.
Mike is. Mike's going to bet it.
It's an early tip. Noon on the East Coast for Michael Lombardi.
Oh,
the Nuggets at the 76.
Oh, it's going to be noon. Oh, yeah. And the line is the Sixers are 3.5. I'll take Denver the points, Patrick. Thank you very much.
Okay, I thought you might.
I like the over.
Carl's going over.
Do we even know if Big Boy's going to play? We don't even know Big Boy's going to play. Is he?
He's got a
foot. Oh, he may not play against Jokic. You might not.
take the 3.5 with the best team in basketball, the Denver Nuggets. Okay, before we say goodbye, tomorrow cheesesteak. What's on the menu today, Carl?
We're going to eat some Thai food today. We're going to eat some pad Thai. And look, I want a real Philly guy to get on my Twitter feed and tell me how to do a Philly cheesesteak. I want somebody from Philly to come in there and tell me.
Okay, you could find him at Jick Jack Johnson on Twitter. He wants a Philly cheesesteak. We're coming back. It's the Lombardi Line on a Saturday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.